I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, your host for 2 hours from 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there. Next hour, it's Wednesday, we'll do Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I've got it's amazing that after so many shows, I still find things that I haven't covered before and things that affect a whole lot of people, and one of them is I think I'd been somewhere the other day and saw a giant bottle of Tums. And you see these things everywhere. Go into anybody's medicine cabinet, you see people's Tums. Everybody is eating what they want and then taking an antacid. Another huge medical misstep that is promoted by the companies that sell these things, but they are not helping you in any way. We're going to take a look at antacids and then some other information as well. There'll be some natural treatments if you're experiencing indigestion, acid reflux. The numbers are pretty stark when we start playing clips in there of how many of Americans are actually on these things, and you don't know you're actually setting yourself up for big problems down the road. So we'll get to that next hour. So we've got another day. I'm looking out the windows of the penthouse studio here at WYAB right now, and sun is shining, but the schools have already called once again. Based on a weather report yesterday, they have closed down schools. Now, I know Madison County schools, I think, are dismissing early. I'm not sure what's going on with Jackson, Brandon, Clinton, if they have done the same thing. We made it too easy with them. This Zoom call, this virtual classroom, number one, they have just got that system locked and loaded. Anytime they want to keep kids home, they can. And we are raising a generation of neurotic, fear-filled kids. As they now, I expect there will be lots of employees that are already setting themselves up to call into work today for fear of having to drive in the rain. So we had a discussion around the offices earlier this morning of what we call this. We settled on the wussification of our children. And certainly for the last 2 years, as we convinced them they needed to lock themselves in their rooms with video games, wearing a mask all by themselves, it started in earnest then, but this has really gone insane. And, you know, jerking the parents' schedules around like that is going to get pretty annoying. The school boards are going to start hearing about this soon as well, as they should. And the idea that we can't let little Jimmy or little Sally run through the rain to get into a car and just chalk it up to one of those days where you got a little wet on the way to or from, that we are trying to avoid any possible inconvenience or possible safety hazard. We've got to disrupt our entire way of life for a day based on a report. It's endless. I'm tired of talking. This is the fourth week in a row I've come on the air, laughed about it, groaned about it. But this is the world we live in, and I got to tell you, one of the worst consequences of COVID that lives with me today. I don't wear a mask. I don't do any of these things. I don't participate in the COVID theater. I am frustrated to see people who still do, but really nice people. And I don't mean this really as an insult to anybody, but something that has come out of the last couple of years that I'd never noticed before, and I think it's a direct consequence of COVID, is the sign off to a conversation, or if you talk to somebody and they leave the conversation by telling me to stay safe, be safe. This please stop saying that. Have fun. I used to have a friend's father when we were teenagers, and we did some dumb teenager stuff, usually involved a six-pack, 12-pack case of beer. Before we would leave the house, My friend's father would always tell us, don't put beans in your ears. That's an odd thing. I tried to incorporate that with my children. They always looked at me oddly, but we understood what it meant. Don't go out and do stupid stuff. Now, that's a sign-off. Don't put beans in your ears. Don't go out and be stupid. I would rather hear that from somebody when I leave their company rather than stay safe. And you listen, you'll hear this a lot. I have no desire to live just a safe life. I should have brought up the clip, The Office. What was the guy's name? Steve Carell, The Office that was on NBC. I need to have that clip ready where the warehouse guy shamed The Office for living a Nerf life. Well, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to Nerf our kids. Everything has got to be safe. Anyway, it's not all bad news out there. A bird did crap on Joe Biden. So there's that. That just feels perfect for the moment we're in right now, doesn't it? Quotes of the day today, one from the great Ron Paul. He said, the problem we have faced over the years has been that economic interventionists are swayed by envy, whereas social interventionists are swayed by intolerance of habits and lifestyles. The misunderstanding that tolerance is an endorsement of certain activities motivates many to legislate personal values, which should only be set by individuals making their own choices. Both sides use force to deal with these misplaced emotions. Both are authoritarians. Neither endorses voluntarism. Both views ought to be rejected. I'll let you just kind of sit with that one. That's a deep one. That's a thinker. Catches a lot of conservatives off guard to think that you might also be authoritarians, but he's right. Both sides are. Johann von Goethe. Am I saying that? Even close to right. All truly wise thoughts have been thought already 1,000 times, but to make them truly ours, we must think them over again honestly till they take root in our own personal experience. That's what creates values and true beliefs. Most people just go out and parrot. I used to do this too. I used to wait for the Sunday morning show so I could see Republicans go on Fox News Sunday, and I knew what to say for the rest of the week. I didn't have any firmly held beliefs. I just repeated what I was told. James Madison. Listen to this one. This is interesting. James Madison said, oppressors can tyrannize only when they achieve a standing army, check, an enslaved press, check, and a disarmed populace. Oppressors can tyrannize only when they achieve a standing army, an enslaved press, and a disarmed populace. They're 2/3 of the way there. We've got the standing army with a militarized police kicker. We certainly have an enslaved press, and they're constantly making moves on the guns as well. And I love this one. This comes from Matt Taibbi, left-wing liberal guy, former Rolling Stone reporter. Said this at one time. He said, conspiracy theorists of the world, believers in the hidden hands of the Rothschilds and the Masons and the Illuminati, we skeptics owe you an apology. You are right. The players may be a little different, but your basic premise is correct. The world is a rigged game. I got to tell you, anybody who offers up an apology and will admit to somebody else being right, someone they disagreed with, has got a tremendous amount of my respect, because it's very rare that that happens. And a couple other things to lead us into the show today. Michael Gayed, he's a certified financial analyst. He said, in all seriousness, this is perhaps the most disturbing investing environment anyone has ever seen. It is worse than 2008 and worse than 2020. And Sven Hendrick, the Northman trader, tweeter that I follow, says, we're now entering the part of the monetary experiment where even millionaires feel poor. I've talked about this a lot. There's a lot of people who have not been paying any attention because they've been fat and happy while inflation, even small amounts of inflation, and I would submit to you each year it's been 5, 6, 7, 8% even before this inflation. They told us it was 1.5, but a lived experience tells you it was certainly north of 5% inflation just about every year. That really nibbles away at the poor, the working class, and the middle class. That inflation eats away at them. Millionaires and people that have done well really haven't felt a bite of it. It's coming for them now, too. This is the game changer of what we're starting to see. I wanted to read this as a bit of a teachable moment. I'm going to go ahead and start with something maybe unpopular here in central Mississippi, but that's what I do. That's how I roll. This was in a Zero Hedge article. After yesterday's 41-year high print for consumer prices, this morning's producer price index was expected to soar to new series highs, and it did. Producer price increases rose 1.4% month over month, far higher than the 1.1% expected, and up a stunning 11.2% year over year. Now, here is the teachable moment, the turd in the punch bowl. This is from the article, this is the 23rd straight month of producer price increases. Anybody know where I'm going with this? Anyone? This is the 23rd straight month of producer price increases. And obviously, if producer prices, meaning all of the inputs, all the materials they've got to buy, all the energy they've got to buy, everything that they've got to pay for to produce a product, obviously that flows into the price they have to charge for the product, and this leads to price inflation, right? This is the 23rd straight month of producer price increases. I did a little bit of quick math and figured out that 23 months ago, because this is a March number, 23 months earlier, that would be as of April 2020. There have been 23 straight months of producer price rises. The first month of this beginning surge in prices started in April of 2020. Guess who was president back in April of 2020? Anyone? Anyone? It wasn't Joe Biden. Trump was the president. And inflation would have been just as bad right now under Donald Trump. Gas might be a little bit cheaper under Donald Trump. Granted, energy costs across the board might have been a little bit cheaper, but the inflation was starting due to the money printing, not Joe Biden. But of course, some get it right, some get it wrong. Actually, Ron DeSantis put out a tweet. Ron DeSantis says inflation is at a 40-year high of 8.5% due to federal policies of borrowing and printing money at unfathomable levels and bad energy policy, which is hurting Floridians. Biden could unleash domestic energy production to provide relief. Instead, he is content watching people suffer. This is a good tweet. He doesn't blame Biden for the inflation. He says inflation's at a 40-year high due to federal policies of borrowing and printing money at unfathomable levels. It's so hard for me to say that word for some reason. And then he points out separately the bad energy policy, which Biden could do something about, but will not. That's good. That's a good one. Now, here's another comment that was on one of these stories. Someone named Tim Young, he's a tweeter, a tweetist. I don't know what you refer to. Twitterer. This is what he does. He says, the only people who believe this record inflation isn't Biden's fault are the ones that still wear masks in their cars. So this is somebody out there touting this idea that this one man, that you're going to be able to vote yourself out of this inflation. Don't pay attention to the money printing. Don't pay attention to the government debt. That has nothing to do with it. It's just this one geriatric mental patient we have in the White House. And if you just vote really hard in 2024, inflation will be solved. See, Tim Young is either ignorant or he somehow gets money to just play the two-party game. And here we go again. I'm going to do something unpopular. I'll get you back on my side in a minute. Donald Trump Jr., Donald Trump Jr. tweets out, hope all those Biden voters are really enjoying their 8.5% pay cut. Hope all those Biden voters are really enjoying their 8.5% pay cut. But I just read you a story that showed you that producer price increases were taking place as early as April of 2020 when his Diddy was president. You see how this game is played? Do you see how you're tricked on this stuff? I hate to bring the truth to you, really, because it makes me less popular, less likable. I like to be liked. But it's just not true. At least I'll give it to Ron DeSantis. At least Ron DeSantis put out a factual tweet and not just complete partisanship. Still got a good dig in on Joe Biden, a well-justified dig in at Joe Biden's expense, but he didn't lay the entire inflation situation on him. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal, but it was put behind a paywall, and due to rising inflation, I can't afford to subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal has an article entitled, How to Adjust Your Brain for 8.5% Inflation. I really wanted to read that article because I'm sure this is one of those, essentially it's a financial article that would be along the lines of something that says, you know, if you're getting raped, just try to enjoy it. We would never accept that, right? But I assume that this is what it is. You just need to adjust your brain. We're not going to do anything about it. The inflation is here to stay. It's time for you to just start facing facts. This is just what we're doing now. Huge, rapid inflation. I got one more article on this topic. I guess I'll take a quick break real quick and come back. Bloomberg did an article about it. But there is some good news on the horizon. We're going to take a look. You know, when interest rates go up, all of your borrowing costs go up, but there's a flip side to that. Savings rates go up too. So now you're starting to get some return on your savings. We're going to take a look across the landscape. I did a quick search because I thought, wow, with all this record inflation, people must be making a lot of money when they give their money to the bank to hold. Well, they really have gone up. We're going to take a look at savings rates here in the United States now too. Happy days. There's an article out in Bloomberg, another one of the establishment financial press, the cheerleaders. I read a great thread on Twitter this morning from an investment advisor that said, "See, what CNBC does is just criminal. They've gamified the stock market, told you that it always goes up. You got to get every dime you can into the stock market. Stock market's always great, and it always just ends in tears for the retail investors. Not for the big moneyed elites, because they have got parachutes. In Congress, they just get bailed out. If the pain gets too bad for Wall Street, the taxpayers pick up their losses. Not so for the retail investor. Bloomberg is one of these machines, and I really resist the normalization of many things. Now, a lot of people out there right now are focusing rightfully on things like transgender and gender issues and pornography and elementary schools. And saying that's not normal. We're not going to allow it to become normal. And I'm absolutely with you there. But I don't like the normalization of really big things that are just accepted now, particularly in conservative circles. You know, this idea that of individual income taxes, that you are working for a quarter to a third of the year just to pay for the government that we have that does horrific, horrible war crime stuff with our money. But that's just become normalized, so everybody just accepts it. And I've told you, these things are not normal. Masks, for some people, have just become normal now. They're just part of everyday life. I resist that. That's not normal. Natural immunity is normal. They tried to make that abnormal. You know what I mean? This flipping on its head of what is normal, what is just generally accepted as the way things are, I resist that stuff. I don't know if it's good for my mental health. You know, I've studied some Buddhist philosophy. Not a religious aspect to it, but the philosophy. And a lot of what Buddhism is just you accept the way things are. You can't control the way things go, but you can control your reaction to them. I succeed and fail at that on a daily basis, but I can accept that it's happening. But I refuse to allow these things to just be normalized. A central bank like the Federal Reserve, just because it's been around for 100 years, doesn't mean it's good. It's an institution. Doesn't mean it should exist. Because it's normalized, Bloomberg, CNBC, our major media, our politicians make you believe that this is just an American institution that is above reproach. They're doing the best they can, and it just, you know, there's no talk of getting rid of it, but it's creating all of these problems. It's creating the inflation that you're seeing right now. So Bloomberg has this piece out, and it says, let me get the title here. Don't expect clairvoyance from the Federal Reserve. Now, this is a very wordy article about the choices that the Fed is facing. I won't bore you with that stuff. I know for a lot of people listening to talk radio, 9 o'clock in the morning, the last thing you want to get is a wonky piece about Federal Reserve policy. So I'll try to just boil it down. Basically, they're saying, you know, the Fed doesn't know exactly. Don't expect them to know exactly what to do. They're facing problems. They know they need to raise interest rates, but if they raise interest rates, it's going to slow the economy. So they have to walk a fine rope there. And this is just a whole wonky thing. Just don't expect them to know exactly what's going on. Well, luckily for you, you've got the Mike Madison Show, because I am clairvoyant. And I'm going to channel the future right now. Let me throw a couple of chicken bones here and see what we got. The Fed is going to try. They're going to try to just inch interest rates up. They're going to pretend that they're fighting inflation. They may go, they went a quarter point the first time. Maybe they're going to go a half point for a couple of times. They may get us up to around 2%, 2.5% on the Fed funds rate, which is historically very low. That would be considered in normal times. That would be emergency measures. But in this case, it's going to be people are going to think it's high, and you're going to see the economy slow down a lot. And then the stock market and the asset prices of wealthy, wealthy people are going to start going down, and the Federal Reserve is going to reverse course. They're going to tell you that it's an emergency. Something will happen. There'll be some trigger, some bank failure, some corporate problem with the sustainability. I've talked a lot about zombie companies. Zombie companies are companies that do not produce enough revenue to even cover the interest on the money that they have borrowed. Yet they trade on the S&P 500. And when those things start to fail, the Federal Reserve will reverse course. See, I am clairvoyant. I do know what's going to happen. No, we'll see. Even mystics like myself can occasionally be wrong. None of this will work. They have already set the path. They've already sealed our fate. Tough economic times are coming. It's just either through hyperinflation or through a stock market and economic crash in this country that will make the Great Depression look like not so much history as current events. So I am clairvoyant. They'll, like I say, they'll blame something else. They'll give you the, we never could have seen this coming. It will be something involved with Russia or another COVID wave. And they'll always tell you the same thing. And if you're a student of this stuff like I am, they'll always tell you something along the lines of, who could have seen this come? Now, we didn't anticipate this. Oh, you might blame us for this or that. But you have to understand, we have to act in an emergency because nobody could have seen this coming. And they say this time and time again, yet people see it coming constantly or screaming from the rooftops that this is coming. Your Peter Schiff's, your Ron Paul's. Many, many good people out there warning of this inflation, including the Mike Madison Show for 5 years before this inflation hit and became actually a topic. I said, we're going to have bad inflation. This is only heading one way. So the Fed might not be clairvoyant. We shouldn't expect it from them, but I just gave you what the future is going to be. I did say, though, you know, I'm always looking for some good news. And one of the real tragedies that I've seen, and I don't understand it, you know, Clay Edwards this morning was doing a segment. He was asking people to call in. What is your line in the sand? What is too far for you? What will you stand up and fight against? And, you know, there's, taking my guns, more COVID lockdowns. There's all these kinds of things. I've been really amazed, and I've repeated it many times, maybe at the risk of getting repetitive on this show, that senior citizens have sat back and taken, you know, 0.1% return rate on their savings and their CDs and all of their fixed rate investments so that the bankers, so that Wall Street could borrow at essentially zero rates. I have explained to you for many years now that this is the greatest wealth transfer from the working and middle class saver up to the oligarchs in this country that we've ever seen. I've explained the mechanism of it. Low interest rates mean you get crap on your savings. You get nothing. Your money's not working for you. It's sitting there idle, getting nothing. And the people with their beaks in the trough of free money, that's not for you and me. Nobody out there is getting free loans from your local bank or free loans from your credit card companies outside of a teaser rate that they just whet your appetite for more debt. But the senior citizens and the savers of this country have not been outraged. But I know why. It's complete ignorance of how economics works. They just believed, again, this is a normalization thing where for years people just thought, well, you know, savings rates are down. That's just what I get now. I get a quarter of 1% if I lock my money away for 5 years. But this has robbed the American people of trillions of dollars of wealth over the past 13 years. This low interest rate all the time, passing the savings on interest up to the 0.01%. And I guess people don't understand that, but I've been surprised that people are not up in arms about it. So anyway, with inflation soaring and the Fed raising rates, I thought, well, let's at least see how the average American is doing. Certainly they are boosting the rates they're paying on American savings. Isn't part of the American dream that you work hard, you save some money, you let your money work for yourselves, and then you parachute out into your golden years? the power, the miracle of compounding interest we're told about by our financial advisors? And for so long, seriously, five-year CDs were paying you 0.25%. Even if inflation is only running at 2%, you're losing 1.5% a year on your money that you keep in these investments. Do people not understand this? That's what's called a real rate of return. So I checked bank rates this morning. With the Fed raising rates, with inflation going up, certainly Americans are getting the benefit of at least they're making more money on the money they're saving. Here's what we got. This is bankrate.com. I checked it out. These are some savings accounts right here. Basque Bank. They're paying you 0.8 on an account. 0.8%. Lending Club, 0.7%. CIT Bank, 0.6%. Barclays, one of the big mega banks, they're paying you 0.55%, about half of 1% on your savings. Capital One is paying you 0.4% on your savings. 0.4%. Now, just to do the math for anybody who's not quite understanding this, I know this is not covered typically on radio, and there may be a reason for that. But if inflation is running at 8.5% right now, and that's their official figures, the people, if you calculated it the same way you calculated in the 1980s, inflation is running north of 15% right now. But let's just use their phony baloney numbers that they'll even admit to. If inflation is running at 8.5%, Capital One is paying you 0.4%. You are losing 8.1% on your savings each and every year that condition exists. For even the most optimistic, the highest yielding account here, according to bankrate.com, at 0.8%. You are losing 7.7% of your purchasing power every year that you stay in this account at 0.8%. This continues to be the biggest wealth transfer from the American saver, the productive people who have sacrificed, scrimped, and saved so that the uber wealthy can continue to get low interest loans. Because the Fed hadn't raised interest rates much. This is something people should be paying attention to and should be outraged about. I'll continue to pay attention to these rates any day now. Fingers crossed, you'll be making more than 1% and only losing about 7.5% on your savings. Oh, good time to be a saver in this country, isn't it? I'll be right back. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Next hour, Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. While I do not agree with the cancellation of school every time a weather forecaster comes out and says it's going to rain hard on a day, there are some preparations you should make, particularly when it comes to your home. And I want to remind everybody about HydroBlocks by Magnolia Drainage Solutions. This is the easy alternative to the old French drain system, and it is, are you ready for this, 60% less expensive. On average, they move about 38 gallons of water a minute and can move water from where you don't want it to where you do. It's high compression strength material that never deteriorates, it never settles, and it never clogs. This stuff is great for things around your foundation, underneath pavers, retaining walls, athletic fields, or golf courses. When it comes to your home's foundation, water damage, you know, if you've got standing water and it's affecting your seeping into your foundation, you can end up with foundation damage that is not insured in most cases. So you need to move that water away from the sides of your house and put it where you actually do want it. So this is HydroBlocks by Magnolia Drainage Solutions. And again, 60% less expensive, and none of the gravel on top of it either. As a former landscape professional that has had to use a weed eater over French drains, and you catch those pebbles? Yeah, I've broken a window or two and caught a few in the shin, so it does not even require the gravel over the top of it. So, again, that's Magnolia Drainage Solutions. You can contact them, MagnoliaDrainageSolutions.com, MagnoliaDrainageSolutions.com. If you don't know where you got standing water right now, apparently later on today you're going to find out. I found something interesting, you know, the news about this shooter up in New York City. I saw a video yesterday You know, it has gotten so weird in our world right now that when you see things, you really, there's so many things you cannot tell if they are satire or if they're real. And I'm somebody who tries to deal in the truth here, and I do a lot of research for this show, and there's times I see things and I'm thinking, how do I verify? This could be a skit. Am I getting punked? But it's not absurd enough anymore to make it obvious that it's absurdity. This was a video of the New York subways that was taken by what apparently was just a rider. There was somebody who had pitched a tent inside a New York subway. Now, it was a single-person tent. Let's not go crazy. It was a single-person tent, one of these little dome tents, and you could see this guy moving around in it. Other riders are sitting in the seats. They look like they're normally going from point A to point B in New York City, and there's some kind of an argument between a couple of the riders. This guy comes out of the tent that is set up in the subways. He's got no shirt on, no shoes on. He does have pants on. I guess that's the bar they've set in New York. Oh, you can live on the subway. You can set up a tent. You don't have to wear shoes or a shirt. But by God, this is New York City. We got some class. You're going to put some pants on, mister. So the guy gets out of the tent. He's got pants on, no shirt. He wanders over, and he just snatches a sandwich from one of the riders, you know, a deli wrapped in white paper sandwich. He gets out. He says, I want food. I need something to eat. And he goes and he accosts a rider, snatches a deli sandwich out of his hand, and then goes back into the tent that is in the middle of the subway car. You know, I have expressed a desire that I wanted to go live the New York experience. This was far before COVID. Thank God I did not somehow realize this and take my 3-month vacation of living the urban lifestyle of a New York, you know, of a native New Yorker during COVID. That would have been just absolutely horrific. And believe me, that dream is kind of gone right now. New York City has lost its mind. Well, we had this shooter yesterday, and I thought it was just kind of interesting. Everybody kind of knows the details. This guy hurt a lot of people. Obviously a nut job. There's some mental health issues there. But what I wanted to call attention to was that I read about this in two different media outlets. I read one in an article on Zero Hedge, and I'm not even sure if it was attributed to somebody else. You know, Zero Hedge doesn't write everything themselves. Many of the articles that they do are reprints from other places. But there was an article on Zero Hedge. I'll read that first. And then I read about it also on the U.S. Sun. This is the British Sun has got a U.S. Division. Here is the Zero Hedge story. It started yesterday with Newsweek reporting that the suspect still at large in the shooting, Frank James, had been investigated and cleared by the FBI in 2019. That already raises a few alarm bells, but I'm just saying. The story goes on. Soon after that report emerged, thousands of people scouring James' social media presence made a truly shocking, if unsurprising, discovery. The suspect, who shot at least 10 people in a terrifying and meticulously planned mass shooting, police found explosive devices that didn't detonate, had been publishing bizarre, hate-filled rants on YouTube praising other mass shooters and calling on people to kill, quote, Whitey, unquote. In his video, he appears to express support for an extreme black, quote, black nationalist, unquote, ideology. At certain points, he even expresses a hatred or dislike for black people, referring to them as racial slurs, which we won't repeat here, although you can find some examples over at the Daily Beast. At one point, James calls upon, quote, black Jesus, unquote, to, quote, kill all the whiteys, unquote. That was the article from that I read at Zero Hedge. Here is the article from The Sun. It's much, much shorter. The Sun reported much of James' content, they were referring to the fact that people had seen his social media profiles. Apparently he had a YouTube channel. No problem with him on YouTube, apparently, but anyway. Much of James' content appears to express his dislike for black people, using racial slurs on multiple occasions. He talks about his desire to kill and at one point describes himself as the, quote, prophet of doom. Do you see the difference between these two stories? Now, with all of the quote marks, I have not gone and looked at Frank James' social media profiles. I'm so bad at social media, I doubt I'd be able to find them. I tried to click on a couple of links took me somewhere I didn't need to go. It was the wrong spot. So I haven't seen his post, but I'm assuming by the Zero Hedge article having so many quotations in there. One, in his video, he appears to express support for an extreme, quote, black nationalist, unquote, ideology. And at one point, James calls upon, quote, black Jesus, unquote, to, quote, kill all the whiteys, unquote. I assume that this is taken directly from his social media stuff. Yet all the Sun pointed out, the Sun left out all the stuff about kill whitey, about black nationalism. The only thing that the U.S. Sun pointed out was much of James' content appears to express his dislike for black people, using racial slurs on multiple occasions. It's just an interesting commentary on the media. So if you saw the Zero Hedge story, it appears you've got a pretty fleshed out idea. This was just one pissed off dude. Maybe mad at blacks because they aren't black enough. He had problems with the mayor, apparently. He was definitely just a deranged guy. This is life on planet Earth. There are insane people out there. We do a terrible job of treating them. We used to have mental health hospitals. The politicians and bureaucrats in charge decided that was no good. Just like shutting down the charity hospitals and instead just giving everybody charity medicine. But if you read the Zero Hedge article, you get a fully fleshed out view of what this guy was. A mentally deranged person who appeared to hate just about everybody and was intent on killing some people. If you read the article from The Sun, he was a black racist who hated other blacks. And when I first saw that, the first story I ran across was that of The Sun. And I thought that was interesting because I thought, oh, we're being set up here. That even a black mass shooter, turns out he's a white supremacist. I thought they were selling that. That's essentially what The Sun is trying to do. So depending on the media sources you're reading, and this goes on with every single story, a lot of it happening with the Ukraine issue, depending on who you read, the narrative is completely different. It's just wildly dishonest of The Sun. If Zero Hedge is correct, and with all those quotations, I assume they took these quotes from his social media. For The Sun to leave out that little juicy nugget completely changes the tenor of the story, doesn't it? The media just, it can't help itself from being wildly dishonest and manipulative. Be right back.
You can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
All right, I've only got a few minutes till we switch over next hour to Hump Day Health. We got some health-related topics we discuss for an hour every single week. I've got a clip from some sports broadcasters down in Australia you're going to want to hear. It was a very interesting exchange on the Australian equivalent of ESPN, and it was health-related, so we'll get to that when we come back. I saw an article, did you know, in the Ukraine situation, I'll touch on this real quick, and I'll probably flesh some of this out a little bit more during the week, probably most notably on Friday. Apparently, our own Biloxi, Mississippi was host to some Ukrainian soldiers. They were being taught by our military how to use and procure the Switchblade suicide drones and being trained right here in Biloxi, Mississippi. This must be a feather in the cap of the warmongers that sit atop the Republican control of Mississippi, both in the Federal Senate, the Wickers, the Cindy Hyde Smiths, the Michael Guests, as well as Tate Reeves and the rest of the establishment Republicans that love the defense contractor dollar sloshing around in here. But anyway, point of pride, when Russians are killed by Switchblade suicide drones over in Ukraine, they were trained right here in Biloxi. We're going to play our own little part in getting us to World War III. Dave DeCamp at antiwar.com has written a piece. It says, according to a report from Reuters, the Pentagon will host leaders from the top eight U.S. weapons makers to discuss the industry's capacity to produce arms for Ukraine if the war lasts years. One source told Reuters that the Pentagon's Office of Acquisition and Sustainment, cha-ching, 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 will host a 90-minute meeting. The Deputy Secretary of Defense, Kathleen Hicks, will likely attend. Resupplying the weapons stockpiles of the U.S. and its allies are expected to be discussed, as well as planning for a long-term conflict. I also have another story today, and I don't have time to get to it now, about the fact that I believe it was a French or a Danish reporter has come back home. He went over to do some reporting on the Ukraine conflict. He went over with some volunteer, you know, basically mercenary fighters over there fighting on the side of Ukraine. And he thought he was going over there to witness, you know, exactly how the Ukrainian army is responding and how these foreign fighters are going in and working to fight the Russians in Ukraine. And what he found was a Pentagon-run organization. He left and said there is absolutely no doubt that the United States is running the war in Ukraine right now. Now, this really isn't much of a secret. We certainly know we stoked it, we provoked it, and now it appears for the defense industry we want to prolong it. But it is interesting to know that a reporter went there and he was forced to sign all kinds of things, was threatened with arrest at some point by Americans for being there. So this is an American-run operation in Ukraine after we've been promised no boots on the ground. Apparently this reporter's experience was something far different. I'll report more about that on Friday as I get more details on it. Be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. It's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we focus in on health-related topics, mostly things that you are doing that may be harming your health and the power that you actually have to control your health outcomes. We don't do learned helplessness here. I've talked a lot about this kind of normalization of bizarre stuff. One of the normalization things that has happened in this country over the past 50 years is this idea that you're just going to get old, you're going to get sick, you're going to be on a bunch of prescriptions. That's just getting older. I fell for it in my early 30s. I mean, in my early 30s, stuff was breaking down. Stomach, headache, joint pains. Ankles were so stiff when I got up in the morning to walk around. I was like an old man. Now, I did work on a warehouse floor in a giant nightclub, walking around for hours and hours. It took its toll. But, you know, I just thought, wow, sucks getting older. Turns out, as my body was breaking down because I wasn't giving it what it needed to repair itself. And I'm healthier now than I was 20 years ago. I would like that same outcome for as many people as possible. I start every show by explaining to you I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, not a biologist, not a virologist, not an immunologist, not a surgeon, not a nurse, not a therapist, not a PT. I'm nothing. I have no certification to advise you on your health in any way, shape, or form. I'm just giving you some things that I've researched and I think you should look into, too, if you want to actually take control of your own health and escape this medical system. Not every doctor is bad. There's some great doctors out there. Certainly some great nurses out there. But if you want to escape this system that we have seen exposed for all to see over the last 2 years, then it is up to you, and your ability to do that is in your hands. I was pretty surprised last week. COVID kind of came back up. I brought it up as a topic last week, and I had several listeners contact me, and they are still facing vaccine mandates at their work. Some of them having to do testing every morning to test negative for COVID. You know, for those of us who don't participate in the theater and aren't forced to because we don't work for psychopaths, we forget that this stuff is going on, but apparently it still is. With everything we know right now about the vaccine, and you're about to know more than you did before this show started, it is amazing to me that employers are still demanding these things of their employees. I want you to listen to some of these statistics as they have just announced another booster. And there's many people out there that may be still considering whether or not they should get a booster. We've talked even this week about the new variants. Now we've got the Frankenstein variant. It's a part of the Omicron and the 2 variant. And so people are still making these decisions, and people you love may be making these decisions. I want you to listen to some of these statistics that have come out. Of course, not here in the United States, but overseas, where they actually track some of these things. March 29th, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration authorized a second booster. That is dose number 4 for those taking Pfizer or Moderna, for adults over 50, as well as the third booster, dose number 5, for immunocompromised people aged 12 and older. The additional boosters are to be given 4 months after the last dose. The FDA reportedly based this decision to authorize doses 4 and 5 on Israeli data posted on the preprint server MedRxiv. don't know if I'm supposed to say that or if it's just letters, on February 15th. What evidence was provided in this yet non-peer-reviewed study that was compelling enough to circumvent the voting committee and public comment? According to the authors, I want you to listen. This is how the FDA made its decision. This is the data that they got in from Israel. And they said, oh, yeah, sounds like we definitely need to start giving more doses of these shots. Quote, this is from the Israeli study, quote, breakthrough infections were common, mostly very mild, yet with high viral loads. Now get these statistics. Vaccine efficacy against infection was 30% for Pfizer and 11% for Moderna. Local and systemic adverse reactions were reported in 80% and 40% respectively. Let me say this again. The FDA authorized doses 4 and 5 based on data showing the Moderna shot was only 11% effective and caused side effects in 40% of the recipients, and the Pfizer shot was 30% effective and caused side effects in 80% of the people that took these boosters. Moderna was 11% effective and side effects in 40% of the people. Pfizer was 30% effective and caused side effects in 80% of the people. With the Moderna shot, you are four times more likely to develop an adverse reaction than you are to provide any safety from COVID. And it's 2.5 times when it comes to Pfizer. And the FDA took this information and said, yeah, sounds like a great idea. Let's authorize shots 4 and 5. Of course, what does Mississippi do in light of all this evidence of vaccine problems? We do what Mississippi does, what the Republicans in Mississippi do, which is they confirm Pfizer employee Leanne Griffin to the Mississippi State Board of Health. That's what your Republican, your deep red, your majority, supermajority Republican legislature here did in a vote of 33-9 with some cowards voting just present. 33-9, the Mississippi Senate approves Pfizer employee Leanne Griffin to the Mississippi State Board of Health. So the shots in this state aren't going anywhere anytime soon. Now, this is also interesting. Adding to suspicions that COVID jabs aren't doing much of anything is the fact that areas with low injection rates, such as Africa, fared no worse than those with very high rates. As reported by the New York Times, the Kamakiwi district in Sierra Leone has registered a total of just 11 COVID cases since the beginning of the pandemic and no deaths. Sierra Leone, in total, has had just 125 COVID deaths since the pandemic was declared, this despite gathering for large weddings, concerts, and football matches without masks. Importantly, Africa wasn't spared because SARS-CoV-2 didn't sweep through it, because it did in spades. Studies looking at blood samples reveal 2/3 of the population in sub-Saharan countries have antibodies against SARS-CoV-2. Evidence that they were exposed, recovered, and developed the best protection possible, natural immunity. Sierra Leone, 125 deaths, and 2/3 of them at least, have been exposed and gone through COVID. I don't know which of those statistics is more alarming. It really makes you wonder, why are the people of Sierra Leone so much healthier than Americans, apparently? Because we're told here that 1 million people have died here from this disease. And yet just 125 COVID deaths in Sierra Leone, with 2/3 of the population having contracted COVID and recovered from it. Something doesn't add up. Now, they have low injection rates there. They did not uptake this shot, much as Bill Gates would like to spread more death and mayhem in Africa. They have resisted. But these are amazing numbers. This is something that if you want to email me, I can send you. I don't have the link to the article in my notes, but I'll go and find it. I believe it's on The Defender, which is Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s site, where he gives these statistics. So it would be nice to see just an employer's face if you go, now, what do you want me to get boosted with, the Moderna or the Pfizer? I don't care either one. Okay, well, the Moderna is 11% effective as a booster, and it caused side effects in 40% of the people. Pfizer is only 30% effective, and it caused side effects in 80% of the people. Which one do you think is a better bet for me? I got an 8 in 10 chance of suffering a side effect from Pfizer, and it's only going to give me 30% protection. Is that the one you want me to go with, boss? And the fact of the matter that with all of these things, that 11% and 30% efficacy between Moderna and Pfizer is only about developing severe disease or dying from it. Doesn't mean you don't contract it. Doesn't mean you can't spread it. So these vaccines do absolutely nothing in the workplace to protect anybody. If you've got an employer, maybe those are numbers that can wake them up. But I got to tell you, if they aren't awake by now, you really might seriously need to change jobs. I'll be right back. I had really meant to keep all of the vaccine stuff in one segment, but I diverted from my notes, which I can't do, particularly in this segment, and I missed something. I'm going to stick it in now. I don't want to endlessly talk about this experimental shot that they've rolled out on everybody, because my stance on that is quite clear, as is pretty much the entire station in opposition to our state government, our state medical establishment, all of the rest of the WGOP radio stations. We've kind of staked out our own little side of this issue, and we think that this vaccination program is an absolute disaster, unnecessary, and dangerous. But I cannot help but play this because I thought it was so stark, so striking. This is Australia's equivalent of ESPN, and they got into a little conversation right there on the set on mainstream media. Now, what's the difference between Australia and the United States? Anyone? Anyone? Australia does not allow pharmaceutical companies to own their airwaves because they don't allow direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical advertising. Only two countries in the world, I believe, this is still the statistic, and that is New Zealand, Australia's neighbor. New Zealand and the United States are the only ones that allow pharmaceutical advertising on television, and that's why here in the United States we are the most over-medicated society on planet Earth. In Australia, I guess they still have a little freedom to talk about things like this.
Ollie wants to just watch this space at this stage. Nothing coming out of the Port Adelaide team this morning, Kane, over his subbing out of the game on Thursday night for nausea/heart reasons. He spent time in hospital, and yeah, it's just it's a big unknown as to when he will play again. It may be as soon as this week, but nothing coming out of the club at this stage.
There's a lot of this going on in world sport at the moment. Well,
now, what he's talking about is they're just reporting on a football, or as we call it, soccer match, where one of the star players had to come out due to chest pains. I saw another tweet from a footballer. He said he did, I think he played in 580 games during his career that spanned, I can't remember what he said, maybe 20 years. He said he had never, in that 20 years and 500 matches, had ever seen anybody suffer from any kind of a heart problem during a match. They're trying to normalize this like everything else. But even this mainstream news broadcast, this sports show in Australia, is pointing out, and I'm going to let the rest of the clip play, this is not normal, and maybe some questions should be asked. So this star footballer is pulled off the field or takes himself out because he's having chest pains, and then he was hospitalized.
Thing coming out of the club.
There's a lot of this going on in world sport at the moment.
Well, in the world.
World sport.
Yeah, I think
a lot of athletes have got these issues.
And are you, Brownie, referring to the booster shots?
I'm referring to the booster shots. That's obviously COVID. Yeah. The word going around.
Look, it's being discussed. I haven't been able to get an official line on that from anyone attached to Ollie Wines at this stage. But yeah, the question is being asked and put to me and others, and clearly yourself, by a lot of people about a possibility of that.
But it's not just the heart issues. I mean, like, you know, without delving into your private affairs, you know, you've got Bell's palsy at the moment, which hopefully you're on the back end of that.
One of these guys on the panel here, there's five of them. It looks just like a ESPN set. One of the guys, half of his face is drooping. And you're going to hear they don't go as far as many of us would like to say. Like, they should be jumping up and down. What the hell is happening? We got a bunch of young, healthy athletes that are dropping dead on the field and taking themselves out of games and going to the hospital for heart problems. These are young, healthy, well-conditioned athletes. What the hell is going on? But you'll hear in a second. I think everybody up there says, oh, yeah, well, I mean, we don't want to spread any fear. We've all had the shots. One of the guys sitting at the desk has got half his face drooping to the floor. He's got Bell's palsy.
You know, you've got Bell's palsy at the moment, which hopefully you're on the back end of that, but there's a bit of that going around as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's got heart issues, and Bell's palsy has gone through the roof since the boosters and COVID issues, so no doubt. And we had Michelangelo Ricci on AW on Friday night, and he said that Wines, it's a field, there's a ward filled with people with similar symptoms in Adelaide to Ollie Wines. So nausea, heart issues. So there has to be something more to it.
Yeah, and just, we're not anti-vaxxers. We've all done
it. Of course. Yeah. Here he goes. I mean, I guess you've got to say this so that you just don't get canceled and fired from your job. Well, we're not anti-vaxxers. And he's going to tell you, look, we've all taken the shot. Just one of us has droopy face syndrome. And so far, none of us have had a heart attack.
Not anti-vaxxers. We've all done our due diligence with our booster shots and all that sort of stuff. But there is going to have to be some study done on this, not just in a sporting sphere, but like a community sphere.
And you're right, though, because we don't want to get into the space we're not experts in at all. But
we do 2 hours of that every Sunday, Damon.
We often do that. But when it comes to the medical side, we try and stay clear.
Yeah. We don't want to get into things we're not experts at. We are experts on sports, and we've noticed that a whole lot of young athletes are just dropping dead or keeling over with heart problems on the field. You are experts on that. At least they will point that out. Now, it is to their credit that they'll even discuss it, and it's to the credit of the Australian media that they're even allowed to. In the United States, pharmaceutical companies have got such a stranglehold on our media that you won't hear exchanges like that around here. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. You can tune in every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock if you want to reclaim your health, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And one of the things that I see a whole lot of people doing, and apparently it wasn't just anecdotal, because the statistics given in some of these clips are there are so many people out there, particularly you go into any business owner's office, you're going to see a big bottle of Tums. I've owned several businesses in my life. I understand the stress involved with it. A lot of people have got stomach problems, problems with acid reflux and indigestion, and they reach for the handy Tums. Big swing and a miss. It's like trying to cure obesity with diet sodas. They have linked diet sodas to not only obesity, but also diabetes. So we are sold these medications, and, you know, it's always sold in a very simple way. If you want to lose weight, you need to not drink the sugar or the high fructose corn syrup that's in a regular soda. You need to get this sugar-free thing. There's less calories and no sugar. They just ignore the effects that it actually has on your body and what the chemicals actually do to your body, which they have found out with diet sodas makes you, anyone, gain weight. Makes you actually crave carbs, which make you fat. And so this is one of the big head fakes of diet sodas. Well, the same thing with antacids. If you've got acid reflux, what regular Western medicine, this air quotes here in the studio, advanced medicine system we've got here, tells you is, oh, you must have too much acid. So we need to neutralize all that acid in your stomach. Wrong. So I've got a couple of clips here, and I'm going to give you some ways that you can fight indigestion, acid reflux, and these kinds of things naturally. And go in the opposite direction of what the medical establishment tells you you should go into, or the people that are peddling the Tums.
We are taking action for your health for the next several weeks. We're going to take a look at ways that you can improve your well-being and the new procedures that may give you a better quality of life. So tonight we're tackling the subject of acid reflux. Many of you suffer from it and take antacids either over-the-counter or prescription strength. But do you know the downside of those meds? One local Tampa man would like to educate you. Vic Kukis looks perfectly healthy, but looks can be deceiving.
I had a very bad...
It's stupid to mention in here, but I don't know if you heard that, but apparently right before they cut to it, this is local news. I kind of like the gaffes of local news. Adds a little air of humanity to it, but right before he comes on, he says, don't look at the camera. And there's a picture of him just talking to a woman in the background there.
Healthy, but looks can be deceiving.
I had a very bad bout with acid reflux and didn't even really know what it was. And I had some bleeding.
Turned out to be Barrett's, a precancerous condition of the esophagus. It's serious and can turn deadly.
I was put on some heavy prescription drugs on a daily basis and in the initial stages twice a day. At which point it relieved my acid as well as it can. And after a period of several years, I started breaking down muscle tissue. I've had 3 surgeries in the last 4 years.
And acids are numerous and very easy to get these days, but some experts say using them long-term could result in some problems such as vitamin deficiencies or even affect your bone health, leading possibly to hip fractures or osteoporosis.
So they block acid production about 98 to 99% for about 16 to 18 hours of the day.
But we need the acid to digest food and absorb vitamins and minerals.
The ones that it specifically helps us with are B12, vitamin D, calcium, iron, and magnesium. And so as we block the acid so well with these medications every day, then we get malabsorption of those.
Which could have led to Vic's problems and some others.
Poor B12, so a lot of fatigue. Poor vitamin D or calcium, so then things such as osteoporosis, hip fractures, wrist fractures.
So what's the solution?
We have 3 different procedures.
Now, he goes into medical procedures here, and they've got a big graphic on the screen for his clinic. They're all medical procedures, and some of them, in some cases, may be necessary. I don't know. We're going to go over some natural treatments that you can try before you consider any level of surgery. My suspicion is that possibly this medical clinic paid to have this story on there. You have to be very careful of this stuff. Or maybe they were just sought out as an expert and got to hawk their wares. Anyway, this is another one. This is a Dr. Vicki Peterson, and she's going to explain a little bit about the mechanisms of exactly how these antacids are messing you up, and you just heard in that story. I mean, think about this. If you are having problems and you think acid reflux and indigestion is just one of those problems that you're having, and you're taking these Tums, and you've got these other things, you don't understand that these antacids are actually neutralizing your stomach acid. Well, I'm going to let her explain it. You're actually becoming vitamin and mineral deficient because of the damage done to you by the drug you took in the first place for the acid reflux. Does that make sense? Well, I'll let Dr. Peterson here explain it.
Hello, I'm Dr. Vicki Peterson. I want to speak with you today about antacids. Whether you're taking an antacid by a prescription or over the counter, it has some dangerous side effects that you really want to know about. So the first thing to understand is that your stomach is designed to be a bag of acid. It's supposed to be very rich in acid so that it can break down your food. Because the process of chewing your food, that's the beginning of digestion, and then the food travels down a tube called your esophagus and it lands in your stomach. And that stomach is doing some major breaking down of those chunks of food that go down your esophagus once you swallow. And the idea is that the food, when it leaves the stomach and goes to the small intestine, is of a size whereby the enzymes of the small intestine can get to work on it and really just continue to break it down such that that food is properly digested and then it can be absorbed, meaning it leaves your intestine, goes out into your bloodstream, and feeds all the cells of your body. So that's the design. So what can happen with symptoms of acid reflux and heartburn is, of course, if you've ever had these symptoms, you can have a lot of burning, and it's very clearly acid. So, of course, we want to suppress the acid. But that's treating the symptom. It's not getting to the cause. Because what's really the cause of that is, remember, the acid is supposed to be there. It's not supposed to be coming up your esophagus, but it's supposed to be in your stomach. And the stomach, designed to be a bag of acid, you wouldn't feel any burning if everything is maintaining where it should. So it's only when that stomach compresses and squirts that acid up your esophagus, then you feel the heartburn, you feel the acid reflux, and you're very uncomfortable. But it's not the problem of the acid, it's the problem of the location. So we want to get to the root cause of why. Why is your stomach in spasm? Food reactions is one, and you can have food sensitivities that cause the stomach to spasm and shoot the contents or shoot the acid up the esophagus. You can also have an infection called H. pylori, which stands for Helicobacter pylori, which can create a lot of inflammation and a lot of upset in how you feel. There's also something mechanically called a hiatal hernia. And again, that bag of acid, what encloses it is a sphincter or a little valve that goes over the top of the stomach once you've eaten and it starts producing the acid to keep that acid contained in the stomach. And if that valve is not working quite the way it should, then things can squirt up the esophagus and you feel that burning pain. It's not that people need surgery. The surgery is not very successful. What we need to do is get to the reason of why that stomach is spasming and creating a lot of pressure on that valve. So if you want more information on that, I've written on hiatal hernia, and I have a few YouTube videos on hiatal hernia as well that you can find on my website, rootcausemedicalclinic.com. So getting back to some other side effects of these antacids, there's over 100 million Americans on antacids, either prescription or over-the-counter, for the cost of $10 billion, with a B, a year, the cost of these medications. So there's a lot of people using them, and believe me, I know how uncomfortable it can be to have that acid reflux and to have that heartburn, but you want to get to the cause of it. Here at Root Cause, it's very easy. If somebody comes in and says, I'm on antacids, if they're compliant with the dietary changes that we find they need, it's kind of a no-brainer for us to get them off these medications, which is exciting because when they're not on those medications anymore, then digestion and absorption is working the way it should. Turns out that in order to absorb certain minerals like calcium, magnesium, zinc, iron, certain B vitamins, you need in that acidic environment. I mean, it's there to break down all the food, but there are certain key minerals and vitamins you will malabsorb if you don't have enough acid. So now there's a very strong link that's getting better known that if you take antacids, you're more likely to get brittle bones or osteoporosis. And maybe that's why we're seeing more osteoporosis in men than we've ever seen, because there's such an abuse of antacids. So I bring this up because it's so commonly used. It's one of the most common medications, not just in America, but of course we see that in patients a lot as well. And getting to the root of that is very key, because if your gut's not healthy, it's impossible for the rest of your body to be healthy. So if you know somebody on antacids that takes them regularly, they're uncomfortable, they're not getting help, they're just taking the drugs, please let them know about what I just said.
And I can share this video with you. You can probably call it. I think she offers a free phone consult to talk to people about these things. But so what the... I hate to just keep saying this, but it is. I mean, it's the medical establishment. Go to any store right now. Go to a CVS. Go to a Walgreens. Go to a grocery store and look at the antacids. There's tons of them. There's all kinds of flavors. There's berry. There's orange. There's everything. You'll see these things. There's Pepto-Bismol. I lived on Imodium in my 20s, back when I was eating a bunch of garbage, and it was making my stomach hurt all the time. I should have bought stock in whoever manufactures Imodium. And so people are eating these things, and just to try to summarize exactly what she's saying and what the science is on these things, when you take the antacids, you knock down the acidity of your stomach. Then when you eat food, you don't have enough acid for it to break down the food that's in your stomach. And you need to break it down to find all the vitamins and minerals that are in that food. Once your stomach breaks it down in that acid, it's pretty easy to picture and absolutely amazing to understand how our body works. Once the acid breaks that food down and it goes to the small intestine, there's little hair things in there that uptake all the minerals, because the minerals are then exposed because it's been chewed up by this acid, and all the different parts of the food are now released. And it can be drawn out from the small intestine and sent into your bloodstream to get all the minerals and nutrients and everything where it's supposed to go into your body. If you suppress that acid, the food doesn't get broken down. The minerals don't get released. Nothing gets absorbed by the small intestine. And then it's these vitamin and mineral deficiencies that end up causing other things to break down. And they've referenced in these videos, one of them is brittle bones. And we're seeing more of these things. But if you are not uptaking the vitamins and minerals and nutrients that you need because of using these antacids, this is going to affect everything. Brain health, bone health, vascular health, everything. You're stopping your body from getting the nutrition it needs, not because you're not eating it, but because you're actually countering your stomach acid. The problem with a lot of people, and this is for you to figure out, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a gastroenterologist. The problem for a lot of people is they actually have too low stomach acid. And that is what's causing them to not be able to digest food properly and is causing them some discomfort. So anyway, big swing and a miss when it comes to antacids. If you were on these things every day, I had a buddy of mine called me from the coast several years ago, and I think I've told this story before, but he was taking antacids, and I think maybe it was Prilosec, every single night. Always had heartburn, always had stomach problems. I said, man, just try a little apple cider vinegar. I said, just try it and see. And so he went out and bought some Bragg's organic apple cider vinegar, not the heavy processed stuff that Heinz makes, but something with the mother in it. You can find organic apple cider vinegar. And he started drinking a glass of that every day. I can't remember if he did it morning, afternoon, or night, but he drank a glass of it. And he called me a couple months later, and I said, well, you never told me. What's going on with your stomach problems? He said, well, I did have to take one Prilosec the other night, but I'm down to, I think I've only taken like one a month instead of the 30 he was taking before. And he said, I'm not sure if it's that apple cider vinegar or not. I mean, you know, it might be something else. Maybe I'm just not eating those foods that cause me. I said, okay, well, you know, whatever gets you through the night. But he went from a constant medicated state, 30 days a month of taking a Prilosec, down to one a month. And I would imagine if he kept up with it, they disappeared altogether. Here are some healthy alternatives to antacids. This is on a website called Boston Functional Nutrition. Oh, I love that woman who did the video, her medical clinic is called Root Cause Medical Clinic. Boy, you see something like that, run to them for help. This is from Boston Functional Nutrition. Healthy alternatives to antacids. Eat foods that provide natural digestive enzymes such as yogurt, which contains probiotics. Now try to stay away from the heavy, heavy sugar or artificially sweetened yogurts. Get a good quality yogurt that contains some probiotics, or take probiotics. Ginger, peppermint, wheatgrass, aloe vera juice, unsweetened. Now there is a note here. It says aloe vera can interact with some medications, should not be taken by most children, pregnant or breastfeeding women. So take that caveat with it. Number 6 is papaya, number 7 is pineapple, and number 8, the miracle substance, apple cider vinegar. And it even says on here, Bragg's brand is best. That's what I use, apple cider vinegar. These antacids are not doing you any favors. They're probably causing nutritional deficiencies elsewhere. One doctor that I saw, for every video I play on this show, I've had to look at 10. And usually with time constraints, I either have to cut them up. I put a lot of research into playing any video on here. I've got 10 times the amount of time into it. One of the doctors was saying what he saw a lot of people who were on heavy antacid use was that their jaw started wasting. That's one of the first places that the body will seek to draw calcium from if you're not absorbing it through your digestive tract because of these, because of the low stomach acid associated with antacids, that it would actually start to waste away at your jaw bone. I got to tell you, I don't want that. I don't know about you. Anyway, if you're on these antacids, you can always email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I'll send you show notes to links to all of this stuff. You can share it with somebody that you know who is constantly popping the Tums. We'll be right back. Citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling. All right, final segment for the day here on Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. You know, it is amazing talking about these antacids. I am constantly amazed at the horrific medical advice that we're given, the things that have become normalized, whether it's antidepressants, the overuse of those things, antibiotics, overuse of those things. You give out antibiotics for viral things, and then you just make yourself more vulnerable to bacteria. I mean, it's just constant. It's ever-vigilance. I'm telling you, I enjoy it. It's like my hobby. To most people, you might think that that's weird, but boy, have I enjoyed the fact that I feel good just about every single day for 15 years now. That's the upside to me. I talk a lot on here about nutrition stuff, and that is really the most important thing to do. If you want to lose weight, if you want to feel better, it's going to be through nutrition. The other side of that is movement and exercise, but you cannot out-exercise a bad diet. I've done this before, too, but trust me, just about every mistake that I point out on this show, I made. I just told you I was addicted, or not even addicted, I just needed Imodium every day. Blister packs just littering my garbage can. I would justify if I was going to the gym when I was younger, I would pretty much say, well, I can eat whatever I want to because I'm going to the gym. I'll work it off. I think a lot of people use that to justify what they're doing. You cannot out-exercise a bad diet. You can get healthy just eating with very little exercise, but you got to move. And it's difficult on this show without a visual medium to really talk a whole lot about exercise. I've talked about high-intensity interval training here. I've got an article about that. I don't know if I have time to get into it today or not, but I ran across this when it comes to movement. I'm also guilty of other things, too. I still have some stiffness in my lower back from time to time. I get some bad back spasms. I've talked about them before. They're basically crippling. And I realized with my last bout of them that I had not been taking magnesium for a while, and magnesium is what allows muscles to relax. Calcium is the contractor. Magnesium is the relaxer. And I hadn't been taking magnesium. I took that, and I've been doing good ever since. But I do get some lower back pain. And the other day, I found a great – I just looked for, you know, like yoga stretches or stretches for lower back. And what I did was I took my camera, and I watched this video on YouTube. And every time he moved, there were like 12 things you could do that are fairly quick. You just get on the floor and do these exercises. As the video went through, I took pictures of each pose with my phone. And now I've got this little slideshow on my phone where I can just sit on the floor and go, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But I haven't done it for 3 days ever since I saw it. My back was a little tight this morning. I didn't have time to do it this morning. I will put off stuff just like anybody else. I do pretty regularly make time for the gym. I do some things, but I'm as guilty of just saying, well, I know I should, but I am not somebody who will just ignore a problem for decades. I'm gonna jump on it. But I thought this was kind of interesting. This was from a Dr. Axe article, and it just talks about the diseases that are associated with lack of movement. We live in a very sedentary world these days. A lot of people for work particularly sit a whole lot. This is not natural. Now, we've normalized this. I'm kind of on a rage against normalizing weird things on this show today. We've normalized this because it's generally, our work calls for it. Driving around calls for sitting, but we sit too much. This was from this Dr. Axe article. Which common disease can be eliminated or prevented through physical activity? There's evidence suggesting that diseases can be prevented by exercising, including heart disease and markers, including high blood pressure and high cholesterol. I mean, some of these things sound, duh. We know that exercise helps these things, but if you just stop and think about the fact that really, if we got a little bit of sunshine, if we moved a little bit more, if we quit taking these medications and looked for the root cause, you know, and took ginger or apple cider vinegar instead of antacids, these simple, simple things, the entire landscape of American healthcare would change. The entire system. Now, it's not good for the people who profit off of it. I'll tell you that right now. Maybe that's not why they're not telling us. I don't have a dog in that hunt. I don't make any money from that side of it. Really don't make any money from this side of it either, but I'm just, you know, I'm just giving almost like an hour-long testimonial every week for the fact you can control your health. But just listen to all of these diseases that they have done research and found that a sedentary lifestyle leads to. Type 2 diabetes and insulin resistance, cancer, depression, and anxiety. Before you pop a pill for depression or anxiety, move your body. Get some exercise in. Get your heart pumping blood to your brain. Exercise, if nothing else, is a fantastic mood enhancer. Yet most people would rather just lay on the couch and pop a pill. Further diseases caused by lack of movement, neurodegenerative diseases, including dementia, obesity, asthma, joint pain and arthritis, renal failure, thrombosis, and mobility impairments. This is just, these are the things they're looking at and saying a sedentary lifestyle plays a part in all of these things. And I'm telling you, I was guilty of it too. People are sitting around developing dementia, developing asthma, joint pain, mobility problems. They are sitting around and they are saying, oh, it sucks to get old, and not paying attention to the fact that they don't move. People don't move. Hell, it's gotten over the last 2 years. You don't have to go out of your car to go eat at a full service restaurant. They'll bring your food out in a bag to your car. You don't have to get up and go in and pick up the bag. We're not moving, and it's leading to so many chronic health conditions. There's another another article in here about high-intensity training. I'm going to read a little bit of this in the time I got left. It's no secret that regular exercise may add years to your life, but older adults may want to turn up the speed on the treadmill if they want to turn back the clock on aging. A new study by the Mayo Clinic has found that high-intensity aerobic exercise can reverse some of the cellular aspects of aging, especially in seniors. Now, if you've taken the COVID vaccine, and I'm serious about this as much as it may sound snarky, if you've taken that shot before you do any high-intensity exercise, you may need to get your heart checked out and make sure that shot didn't cause any heart damage. This story goes on. I don't have time to get into the whole thing, but it talks about it's no secret regular exercise may add years to your life, but older adults may want to turn up the speed. Research compared high-intensity interval training, resistance training, and combined training and measured the effects on adults. And what they found was that without this high-intensity interval training, you're not getting your heart pumping like you need to. You're not getting your lungs moving like you need to. And so if you're just doing those slow, steady walks, that's great. Certainly is good. It's good for digestion. It's good for mood. It's good for all kinds of things. But occasionally, a couple times a week, a high-intensity thing is good as well. It also goes into bone health in this article. And I'm telling people, if you're going into the gym and all you're doing on the treadmill, you're not doing any resistance exercise, you're leaving a lot on the table. Take 15 minutes, do some resistance exercise. It's good for your bones. It's good for your body composition. Obviously, it's good for your muscles. You need to add some resistance training in as well. But anyway, lack of exercise is killing us. Lack of movement is killing us. And when that starts to manifest itself, then we're popping pills that are making us even sicker. This is the reason I do this show for an hour a week. That's all the time I got for today. Have a great one. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't.